You sent your one and only Son into this world to live and to die for us and to rise to give us life, Lord. And we come before you grateful and thankful. And God, today, just in response to that, may we be men and women who love you and who love others well. So God, teach us, instruct us, change us today. Help us just to rejoice in your goodness, what you have done for us. And we, God, just are so grateful for you. Bless our time together, and may it honor and glorify and worship you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You guys can all take a seat. Great to be with you all on this fine Sunday morning. Hope you're doing well and having a good kind of kick off to the year. Now, today we are wrapping up a three-part series here in senior high. We're in a three-part series on service and sacrifice, just to kick off the fall. And love. Love requires that service and sacrifice, because only to quote Jesus a little bit, Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for a friend. Okay. So Todd kicked it off in week one, talking about fellowship, discipleship, worship, kind of the heart of why we gather together as a church. And to gather well together, we have to love each other well, right? If I'm going to worship together, if I'm going to be here together with you, fellowship together, it's kind of hard to do that when I treat each other like a jerk. Okay, if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, hey, that is part, just a core part of being in fellowship, worship together. Last week, Sterling talked about, hey, the Lord has entrusted each one of us with different gifts, talents, and abilities. And how are we going to invest those gifts, talents, and abilities for his kingdom? How are we going to love others well by taking those gifts, talents, and abilities and investing them in others, that those don't exist just for me, but to serve, build up, encourage others. Okay, just a side note of clarification. A lot of you should have gotten an email about this this past Tuesday. We recognize that the worksheet that was handed out last week may have been a little confusing. Sterling apologizes for not proofing some of that better, specifically as it talked about, as we were talking about spiritual gifts here, you know, the reality, again, God has given you gifts, talents, abilities, and we should use those. That worksheet was definitely written from a more charismatic background, talking about different speaking in tongues and the miraculous and other things like that, which would not be consistent with RBC's view on what Scripture teaches. He sent out a couple resources if you wanted to look at that. But I hope you saw the key, though, from last week and weren't distracted by that. And that key that God has made you a certain way. God didn't randomly make you. He didn't be like, I got some leftover parts. I'm going to throw them together and we'll see kind of what comes out. But God skillfully and purposely designed you. And part of the way that we love each other well is using that. And it doesn't have to be a super complicated thing, but like, are we using the gifts and talents and abilities and just the way God wired me for making my name look great and everyone be like, look how awesome I am, right? I'm the best at this sport. I'm the best at academics, or I'm just the funniest person, or got the coolest hair, or whatever those things are. Are we using that to say, everybody look at me, look at how cool I am? Are we using those gifts to build other people up and to invest well in other people? Now, kind of the last 2 weeks have been kind of looking at the what that we should be doing in service and sacrifice, right? The kind of some of the what's. And today, I'll be honest, is a little more of some of the heart behind that and a little bit of why and dealing with probably what I would say is my biggest reason why I don't like to serve others and I don't want to sacrifice, okay? And And I'll be honest, what I'm talking about today is not very popular because I want the world to revolve around me, okay? If you guys could just get with the program, the whole universe should revolve around me, right? Can we all agree with that, right? Okay, say, there we go. If you didn't realize, I was being sarcastic, okay? I know, shocker. But if we're honest with ourselves, that's the way we want the world to be a lot of times. Service and sacrifice are not words where the world revolves around me, okay? They're putting others before me. And again, going back to those gifts, right? I want to use the abilities I have so everyone looks at me and sees how awesome I am, not using them to build others up, to serve them, not using them to worship my God and my Creator. I flat out just don't like people telling me what to do. A little story for you. This was back when my wife and I only had one child, and our eldest is turning 20 in 2 weeks. Back when we only had one kid, my wife and I were visiting some family members in Maryland, and we were driving back from Maryland on the Beltway on 495. And all of a sudden, kind of, I don't know, it wasn't forecast or anything like that. It just starts snowing. The storm comes out of nowhere, and it is like dumping snow on us as I'm driving. And probably one of the worst driving situations I've ever had to be in, right? Where I am just like, I am like hyper-focused, white-knuckling driving the whole way back. My wife and I easily saw 30 to 40 car crashes in the last hour of me driving. It was like every quarter to half a mile, there was another accident. And it was just, it was like not cool. Now, by God's grace, we made it home safely, okay? So my wife and I, I'm driving. My wife is in the passenger seat. And we have our daughter, who's a couple months old at the time, in the back seat, okay? And you know what she does? About halfway through this experience, she unbuckles her car seat, crawls out of her car seat, crawls into the driver's seat, and takes the wheel from me. You're looking at me like, what? No, that is not what happened. Not what happened at all. You know what she was doing? I am in one of the more intense moments where I am like super focused, stressed out, and trying not to die moments. And my daughter is back in a car seat, very similar to like this, absolutely passed out, totally sleeping through it. I'm in one of the more stressful situations of my life, and she is just like out cold. Sleeps through the whole thing. We get home, and she is just 100% chill. Nothing happened, right? She's cool. It's great. It's great for her. I'm stressed. She's chill. She was at total peace, trusting the authorities around her. Being locked into a car seat was a blessing for her. Her limited control and her limited knowledge was for her good. And I recognize what I'm about to say is incredibly unpopular for teens. Actually, it's just unpopular for all Americans, okay? I don't know anyone who's like, woohoo, on this point. But I'll just make it this way, and this is my key point of what I want us to get away from today. Being under authority is God's gift for you. And I recognize, like, not a really popular topic, but I believe it is God's gift for you and for me. See, I believe the God of the universe, the maker of all things, has put authorities in our world. And we'll talk about some of them are not the greatest of all authorities, but he has put authorities in our world under his authority for our good and for our benefit. And I recognize we struggle with service and sacrifice and all that sort of stuff because we don't like authorities. We want to be in control, but it is for our good. Two quick disclaimers that I want to make sure that you hear before I get into what we're going to talk about from God's word. There are two disclaimers I need you to hear. I need you to lock in because I recognize the seriousness and unpopularness of this topic. Being under authority, I am not saying you have no agency or authority of your own, okay? God, I think, has created us, given us each different boxes of authority. Under our authorities that we have over us, we each have our different agencies or boxes of authority, right? God at creation in Genesis 1 says, hey, man, I've given you dominion over this. You have this box. I want you to operate and own and exercise God's authority on that creation. You know, my daughter, when she was in a car seat, she had authority over the sippy cup in her hand, right? Maybe the bag of Cheerios she had and the other toys, right? She has her agency or authority. Now she can drive, good driver. You may have you've got kind of your box of authority. Maybe it's your room, your grades, etc. that your parents have put kind of, hey, this is your authority. This is what you're over. So I do not want you to hear, I am not saying today, Aaron just wants us to be mindless robots and doormats. That is not what I'm saying at all. Within the boxes of authority that you have, you should do things, create, build, exercise authority within that realm that is yours to own. 100% affirming that for you. Second thing I need to just clearly state before we dive in, I also recognize there are some really bad authorities. And I recognize some of those poor authorities could have really hurt you. I know for myself, as a dad, my son can tell you I am a sinner. Throwing that out there. Got plenty of issues. But some of you I know have dealt with some really hard issues at home and with other authorities. I want you to know that really grieves me. One of the hardest and most frustrating parts of my job as a youth pastor is having to deal with some of those situations, go to different court cases. That hurts my soul. And I hurt with you. I want you to know our youth staff here wants to be a resource for you. The adults that are here are resources for you. If you were in some challenging situations, I am not saying you should just suck it up and take abuse, okay? Not what I'm saying in any way, shape, or form. That is not, I think, what God would have. Now, those qualifiers being said, and please, that's a situation in your world, please talk to one of the adults here. That's what we're here for, okay? Those qualifiers to us. For the vast majority of you here in this room, that does not apply to you. Not saying it, everyone. For the vast majority, that does not apply to you. And will we, just what this key point says, will we see those authorities as a gift from God? Are we just going to be like a kid in a car seat, seeing different kids in the car seat that are fussy? And they're like, squirming all out. I want to be out of the way. I want to take over. Or will we be at rest and peace? Like my daughter, in the middle of one of my most stressful things, totally out cold because she is trusting in the authorities over her. That's where we are going to go today. Before we continue, though, two table questions I want you to talk about. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of authority? What makes an authority good or bad? You have 2 minutes. Go. Okay. Okay. Hey, I'm going to just pray for us, and then we are going to dive into God's word.
Lord God in heaven, I recognize just this topic is one that it's hard for even me to hear, Lord. So God, God, would you open our hearts that we can hear from you today? Lord God, may it just not be me speaking, Lord, but would your words just speak to each of our hearts? God, would we know what you're trying to say to us today? And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight today. In your son's name we pray, amen. Okay, several things as we look at authority today. First of all, should be pretty obvious, but the first thing I want us to know is that God is the ultimate authority. I'm not going to spend a ton of time here because, yes, God is God. By very nature of being God, you have to be the authority. However, I would say our biggest problem with God's authority is we want things to go our way, right? And there are times where things don't go our way, and we don't understand or know why, right? When I ask about, hey, is this a good or bad authority? A lot of words and things I'm hearing from you guys is, well, if like I understand their purpose, then that's a good authority. I understand their intentions, that's what makes a good authority. If they're looking out for me and they have my best interests in mind, that makes a good authority. And I agree with you. But there are things with God that I will never understand. I can submit to a coach that makes me run laps or does some level of discipline looking out for my good. But what about when I don't understand the why? That's one of my biggest challenges with God as the ultimate authority, when I don't understand the why. But Isaiah 55 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." What God is saying here is the comparison between God and me as a human is, and between God's ways and God's brain, and me and my ways and my brain is like the comparison between me and a plastic Lego figurine, right? They're so infinitely different. You can't really even compare the two of them. And unfortunately, a lot of times I want to know the why. And God just says, look, my ways are higher than your ways. I mean, that's tough for me. Because I feel like I'm owed an explanation to some of those things. But you see, from stories like Job, who in one day lost everything, when life gets miserable and it doesn't make sense, and Job had some really terrible friends in the middle of that, and he's like, God, why? It's weird. It's interesting. At the end of the book of Job, God never tells Job why. He just says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Can you explain all these things in creation to me? Can you do all these things? He just says, I'm God. You're not. And I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of times where I do not know the why. I might have my theories, but this is one of the hard realities we have to check our own gut with when we're talking about the subject of authority. God is the ultimate authority, and I may never know the why. But I want you, we read these verses, I've read these verses a lot, but I want us to go back two verses and we read this in the same passage. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yes, God is the supreme over everything, but I hope you see his grace, his kindness, his goodness, and his mercy. When I was listening to you guys talk about what makes a good leader, the number of you said, hey, are they on my side? Do they have my good in mind? And God demonstrates his goodness to us
in that he pardons and he forgives through Jesus. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Jesus, it's recorded in the book of John. He says, I am the good shepherd. And can anyone says the finish that verse? And the good shepherd does what? Anyone? Good shepherd, yes. No. Not, it's not takes care of his sheep. He does what? No. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Good job. You raise your hand. good job. The good shepherd lays down his life. He's like, you probably knew the right answer too, Mr. Connell. I love that concept. Why do I trust him? Sheep are dumb. And he's saying, I'm the smarter one here, but I'm also the one who will sacrifice my life for you. And that's kind of our framework as we start with this God as the ultimate authority. Second thing that I see from Scripture is God is over all human authority. It says this in Daniel 2, blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. Makes it really clear here. God is the one who removes and sets up kings. Similarly, we read this in Romans chapter 13. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. All authority that exists in this world is under God's authority. And you see the very clear application that Paul writes in Romans 13, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Now, when my kids were younger, okay, and my wife and I would need to go out of the house for an hour or so, we would say to our eldest, Sarah, it's like, hey, you're in charge. Tell her brothers, her younger brothers, hey, Sarah's in charge. And we made it clear, hey, boys, while we are out, Sarah's in charge, and you will get in trouble if you do not listen to her, okay? But then we will look at her and say, and Sarah, you're going to get in trouble if you make some bad rules and poorly exercise that authority, right? And I think this is what God has done here with us, right? My daughter had no authority in her own. She was exercising authority that I gave her, and it was my authority that she was exercising. Those under her are held accountable for yielding to her authority, but she was held accountable to me and how she was responsible for that authority. And I think the same thing is true about what God is saying here. Hey, I put authorities over you. You are responsible to yield to those authorities. However, God is saying, I will take care of it. I will judge if they are poor authorities. But this really does beg the question, very natural question, what about bad authorities? Does God support bad authorities? Well, a few thoughts for you. First of all, theologically, I do believe God makes it really clear that sometimes bad authorities exist in judgment. It's interesting. Jerky people tend to seek out jerky leaders. It's just a truth that I see in this world. Second, I would also just say man is sinful and corrupted, right? And just because God allows something to happen and doesn't intervene does not mean he is pleased with it. Over and over in Scripture, he says, the judgment will come. God, I think, one day will judge and hold all leaders accountable for their actions. Is it yet today? No. Will it happen? I trust that it will. And that's when we're looking at this authority structure and God being over human authority, there's a level where I have to say, God, I'm going to have to trust that you will deal with it. I don't have the authority to deal with those people. God, I'm entrusting that to you to deal with. Second question I think it raises in my mind is, should I listen to bad authorities? Am I responsible to listen to bad authorities? Well, the first thing I would encourage you with is there are respectful and there are disrespectful ways to make an appeal, okay? So you get asked to do something and you're like, I don't agree with this. There's the disrespectful, there's the like the eye roll, the you know, that sort of thing that happens, right? There is the verbal, very like, I think you're a terrible leader, right? Where you won't say it like that, but we very vocally say we are displeased with something in a public manner. Okay? There's the wrong way to make an appeal. There's also the right way, I think, biblically, to make an appeal. If you're dealing with a bad leader, go to them privately or with maybe one other person, right? You don't make it a big public scene and say, hey, here's some other information. Have you considered this? When your parents say something to you, you're like, I just don't think they get it. Would you say, hey, like, not in front of your younger siblings, not in front of their friends, not with the attitude, but just say, hey, mom, hey, this is why this thing I want to go to really matters to me. Is there any other way we can make this work? I would really like, you know how the difference between a respectful appeal and a disrespectful and a rude response. Second thing I would, and so if you want to speak up in a respectful way. Second thing I would just encourage you, if you're like, do I listen to even bad authorities, is just assuming they are not asking you to sin and saying, hey, I am commanding you to sin. Just think about this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2. Be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be on the emperor or as supreme or as governor sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. I do believe when we just do what our authorities tell us to do, as long as they're not commanding us to sin or something, anything like that, it is a powerful witness and a testimony for the Lord. When I worked for this engineering firm, we had a boss who most of my colleagues called Michael. His name was not Michael, but he may have been called that after a particular TV show, because that was about his skill level as our boss. No more comments need to be made there. But one of my best witnessing opportunities there was that he didn't talk bad about him. And the number of opportunities I had to share the gospel because of that, I cannot tell you how many people I was able to clearly present the gospel to, and it was a powerful testimony, because just what this verse says, this is the will of God. A lot of people ask, what's God's will? What's God's will? What's God's will? What's God's will? Sometimes it's just as simple as, this is what my authority told me to do, and I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to ask all these questions. I'm not going to be like, why? I'm not going to give the attitude. Just, this is what I was asked to do, and let me do it. Third principle that I need us to hear today, I pray that you would hear today, is God designed authority for our good. Continuing in that passage in Romans chapter 13, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then, basically, if you don't want to be afraid of authority, then do what is good and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. A really, really powerful statement there. His point of this verse, though, is this first section is kind of this, right? If I am driving at 70 miles an hour in a 45 zone and there's a cop right there on the side of the road, my heart's going to beat a little extra. I'm like, oh man, I'm about to get pulled over, right? I'm afraid of the cop when I am clearly committing a traffic violation in front of the cop, right? However, I'm driving 70 on the interstate and the speed limit says 70 right there, and I drive right by a cop, I got nothing to fear. You're not afraid of authorities if you're doing the right things. That's what he's talking about in these verses. But the reality is, why don't I like authorities? Because they tell me I'm wrong. I don't want it. I'm doing wrong things, and I don't want people to correct me when I am doing wrong things. Our conflict with authorities is because I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want you to tell me what to do. But you and I both know, if you want to get better at a sport, you need a coach who's going to push you, who's going to discipline you and make you work harder if you're going to get better in it. Most of you hopefully like the ability that you can read, right? Do we like reading? Okay. But you know what? You wouldn't be able to read unless someone forced you when you were a younger kid to learn how to read. You need people to give you boundaries, to force you in a certain direction if you are going to achieve what you want to achieve in life. You will never get here. If this is where you want to go in life, you are not going to get here unless some people put some boundaries on you and push you in that direction. None of us will. And that's where God says, I put these here for your good. These are here for your blessing. And I hope you would recognize, when I'm in conflict with authorities, it's not me necessarily in conflict with authorities. It's my sinful flesh that wants to do what it wants to do and wants to be lazy that's in conflict with them. It's my inability, my lack of self-control that is in conflict with my authorities. You know, and one more just thought in this. I've been to, most of you know, I've been to Haiti a lot. Thanks for you that were helping with the car wash a month ago. Help us put a lot of kids in school. Super cool. But I guarantee you, I know, the people in Haiti would love, absolutely love the authority structure here in the United States. Because you know what? They have zero authority right now. The whole country is lawless. There's no police. It is run by a bunch of gangs right now. They can't get food. They can't get gas. They can't get supplies. They have no future. And they are desperate. And what they want is an authority and a structure over them. They are desperately crying out, please, we need this. Because without that, or exactly what this verse is talking about, crime runs rampant. There is no structure. They're worried about getting kidnapped and killed. And it happens over and over and over. Why are there not just, hey, if there's no authority, I could just go and do whatever I want. You have something, you have the car I want. What happens in Haiti? People just take the gun, shoot you, and take your car. And I'm not trying to be morbid here, but they are desperately saying, we want authority. And they don't have it because of man's sinfulness. You want this. It is for your good. I work with a lot of the orphans there. And you know what they wish they all had? Parents. It's God's gift for you. The things that I'm like, and we do that. I do the same thing. And I know I'm making a little goofy voices in it. That's the sound in my own heart that says, I just want things the way I want it. I don't listen to these people. God says, these are gifts for you. These are gifts for you. Another reason I just really see authority as a gift for me, and this is personally, this is something that God has really challenged me over the last 18 months or so. I naturally want to be in control. It's human nature, I think. We want control. But when you have control over everything, it actually gets really overwhelming. When you have all these burdens and responsibilities, you feel overwhelmed. And this is, there's studies out this on this same principle that part of the problems humans are having right now is because we have access to media and we can see about all the pain and mess going on all around the world, we just feel this overwhelming burden for people dying this place, that place, and the next place. We get desensitized to it and we just feel a sense of hopelessness. We can't process all the different situations that are happening around us. And I know a lot of my stress was due to the fact that I worried about things that were way outside of my control. God had given me this box to deal with, and I was taking on all of these other boxes and saying, I've got to manage, I've got to own all these different things, and it was overwhelming me and stressing out my soul. And then I'm getting angrier at people. I'm getting more annoyed at people because God had said, this is what I want you to have authority over. And you've taken authority on all these over other things. And you're anxious, you're stressed, and you're worried. There's a freedom when it's just, hey, this is my world. I'm going to deal with this. And this over there, that's God's to deal with. That is not mine to deal with. I have said this probably way too much, and a lot of people probably think I'm sarcastic. The number of times over the last year, people ask me some question about the church. I'm like, you know what? That's a great question to email elders@restinbible.org. They're the elders here. They're the authorities here. I'm not. If you're all the teachers at ECS kind of tease me a little bit because of the number of times I say, yeah, I'm not in charge. And I'm not. And it's great. You guys have the blessing and freedom as teenagers to not have to be in charge of everything. Rejoice in it. Have fun with it. Be blessed by it. This is where God has designed that authority for our good. You know, one day you will have to do the hashtag adulting, right? But right now, enjoy it. Enjoy that you don't have to worry about retirement savings, fixing your house and your car, or stressing about jobs and money, all that sort of stuff. Okay, moving on to four. Okay, next thing I want us to hear is Jesus himself submitted to human authority. Going back to this passage in 1 Peter 2, it says, "For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered, leaving you as an example, so that you may follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled," or kind of like mocked, "he did not revile or mock in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten." He was dying and he didn't yell out threats to people or anything, but he continued, and I want you to note this, entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The argument, this whole section is about, you know, following bad bosses. If you want to read more about it, you can read this in 1 Peter 2. But he's saying, follow Christ's example. When he dealt with the God of the universe, Pilate goes to him. Pilate and Jesus are speaking, and Pilate says, don't you realize I have the authority to kill you or to release you? What does Jesus respond to Pilate and say? Yeah. Not really, but close. Getting clear. Yeah.
God has authority over his soul.
No. Yeah.
No authority has been put on the church which my father did not put here.
Close enough. You would have no authority except granted to you by my father. That's what you were going to say, Mr. Gravy. Thanks for volunteering. Okay. But you'll notice, look at what Jesus does when he's dealing with bad authorities. It says he is entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He's like, God, you're going to handle this. And there are so many times where I just need to say, God, you got this. You are going to handle this. And you know what? We think we're smarter than our parents, okay? Wow. Okay. Here's the reality. Jesus was smarter than his parents, okay? He was the God of the universe, and he still had to grow up and learn all these different things. You can read about him as a 12-year-old in Luke chapter 2. He was smarter than his parents, and he still submitted to their authority.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Thanks. He was smarter, and he still submitted. And that's the example that we have. I want to read one other thing about the example of Jesus out of Mark 10. Just quickly look at this. Now, Jesus just said, hey, I'm going to die. We're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to die. But don't worry. 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. This is what he's just told his disciples. In a very natural response, and this is a sarcastic comment, James and John are like, hey, we hear you're about to die. Hey, when you're in a kingdom, can I get the left side and the right side? Because can I have the seats of power? Okay, that's what they want. And this starts a little fight, and it says this, and then the other disciples heard it, and they began to be indignant at James and John. They're annoyed. And Jesus called them, the disciples, to him and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. He's saying, hey, in the world system, you know how the world system works, that all the leaders kind of exercise authority. You will respect my authority. You're going to do what I say. You're going to go where I say. And that's the definition of a leader in the world society, okay? And Jesus makes it really clear to them. He says, but this, it shall not be so among you. If you're my disciples, if you're a follower of Jesus, that ain't happening. Whoever would be great among you, who's going to be the top, must be your servant. Whoever be first among you must be slave of all. My kingdom is totally reversed. Not how it works in my kingdom. And he says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, your sin and my sin separated me from a holy, perfect, righteous God. I could not have any relationship with God on my own merit because I'm a sinful person. But God loved you so much, and he loved me so much, that he sent his one and only Son into this world to live the perfect life that I could never live. And then to die on a cross for your sins and for my sins. And then rise from the dead 3 days later. This is what he's talking about by giving his life as a ransom for many. He is under that human authority in order that he could die for you and die for me, be our ransom, pay for our sins. And now when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, my sins, past, present, future, paid for, done with, dealt with, I have a relationship with God now. I will spend an eternity with him in heaven. That's crazy. I want you to back to that verse in John that I had you look at earlier. I understand what I'm saying is really hard and is very much against our nature. But if you want to question, does God have your good in mind? Look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ. He was perfect and he is still willing to die for you and for me. He took that for us. He is for us. He has a good plan for us. And we need to trust in that. Fifth and finally, we are responsible to submit to authority. Back to Romans 13, it says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. I don't think I can make it any clearer than that. But a little picture for you is this, okay? That's a pretty flower. I like the flower. Aw. And sometimes when we are looking at authority, this is all we look at. We see our parents' authority kind of like this, right? It's this little thing right in front of us. It might look cool. It's nice at certain times, but it's just a little thing right here. That's all we're focused on. However, when we are looking at the human authorities above us, this is what God's commanding us. He's not saying, look at this little thing in front of you. And your parents have some imperfections. We all have our imperfections. What he's saying is, look at what's behind it. He's saying, look at my authority behind it. You're not submitting to your parents. You're submitting to the God of the universe. You're not submitting to your teacher. You're submitting to the God of the universe. You're not submitting to a police officer. You're submitting to the God of the universe. The God of the universe who made you and me and who died on a cross for you and for me says, I put these authorities on over you. Yes, there's a respectful way to appeal to those authorities, and sometimes we need to do that. Yes, there's some bad authorities, and if you need help with some of that, that is why our youth staff is here for you, okay? But for everything else in that, Those authorities are like this, where we need to recognize God's authority behind it. And that's why he will say, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You want to know how to please God? Respect the authorities that are above you. Really clear, really simple, not rocket science here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise. God gives promises. What he's referencing is in Exodus 20, you see the Ten Commandments. Okay, in those Ten Commandments, they just say, do this, do this, do this, or don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. The only one that says anything different is honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God will give you. That command has a promise associated with it. A lot of you have heard this story before, but this is just part of my heart. I was graduating from Virginia Tech, and when I was graduating, I was highly considering doing this, being part of this Christian ministry when I graduated from Tech. And all on track kind of to do that. And my dad was very adamant that that was a terrible idea. Extremely adamant. The biggest fight I ever had with my dad and mom was definitely over this. And in a lot of different, and my dad said, don't do it. Here's three reasons. Here's three challenges you're going to have if you do this. And this is why I don't think you should do it. Now, my challenge and response was, look, I'm going to do a Christian ministry thing, right? It's not like I'm going to go be a drug dealer. What are you doing, parents, not wanting to be doing something for Jesus? Are you even Christians? And I was so frustrated and angry with them. And I remember multiple times over that next week just going before the Lord and being like, Lord, what do I do? I really think my parents are off base here. I think they're wrong. They're stupid. Are they even Christians? I was so frustrated. And every time I prayed, every time I opened my Bible, I just could not escape verses like this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long and learn the land that the Lord God will give you. And I just like, but God, don't you realize my dad is wrong? And he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You want to please me, Aaron? Just obey what I told you to do. And so I said, okay, I'll listen. And I'll be honest, that was one of the harder decisions I've ever had to make. A lot of people thought I had lost my faith and were mad. I had a whole group of people that had disappointed. I was unemployed. I looked like a loser. A lot of my friends just thought I was just a total loser for what I did. But I was like, I can't escape God's word and God's truth. Fast forward about 18 months later, I'm having breakfast with one of my friends who had done exactly what my dad told me not to do. And he was in the exact same situation I was in, like word for word, right? I'm sitting having breakfast with him. We're in the Anitas on Route 50. And he was talking about his life. And he was like, Aaron, blah, 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 and I'm having this problem. I was like, oh, that's the first thing my dad told me, not the reason I shouldn't do this. And Aaron, I'm going, and I'm having this problem. That was the second reason. Blah, and I'm having this problem. That was the third reason. I mean, like word for word, exactly what my dad had warned me about. And I had fought with my dad so hard over. Word for word, I am hearing out of this guy's mouth. I ended breakfast with him and called my dad. And I thanked my dad. I still thank my dad. Part of the reason I am here today is because I listened. This verse right here. That's going to go well with you. Got to actually put your parents in your life for a reason. And I know they're weird. I know they're awkward. My dad, my mom, they're awkward, right? I can affirm there are weird things about your parents. But I just remind you, God's the ultimate authority. God is over all human authority. God designed authority for our good. And Jesus submitted to human authority. And we are responsible to submit to that authority. Look, my daughter was sleeping pretty that day. Absolutely sleeping, so cute. No problem in her world. She was at peace. And God, I believe, wants you to have that peace. But that peace comes from resting in the box that God has put you in. Would you trust him in that today? Worship team, if you wouldn't mind coming up, I'm going to pray for us. And then we got one song to close us out. God in heaven, I come before you just grateful and thankful that you, the God of the universe, entered our world and entered our mess. While we were undeserving of your grace and your mercy and kindness, you came into our world, and we are thankful for you, Lord. And God, I know it is not easy, but God, help us this week to submit to the authorities that you've put around us, Lord, not because it's fun, not because it's easy, but because it is well-pleasing to you. And because if you loved us enough to die for us, then you've got a purpose and you've got a plan. And I may never see it. I may never understand. But help me trust you today. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing and praise our Lord together.